Hello?
Hi, Linda. Linda.
What?
Linda.
Hi, how are you?
You can hear me now?
Yeah, my phone offered to cast what I was listening to you.
Oh, like really?
Shared my Spotify audio with you.
That is a new feature I was not aware of.
Yeah.
Why would one want to do that?
I don't think I would. Really?
This one's not for me.
Yeah. This one's not for me, but thank you.
It's good to know what's not for you, you know? It's like an important skill in life.
It is, and it takes years to figure it out.
So long. How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
You're good. Tired. You're good and tired.
Yes, I'm just like sitting here on the couch.
I've been tired, too. I took like a 3.5-hour nap on Saturday. Who does that? Who does that?
Andy's do.
Yeah, apparently.
Andy do's.
Yeah. Why are we so tired? Is it just because we're old?
I think it's because it's 98 degrees outside.
Oh, yeah. It's also fucked outside. Outside is fucked.
It's so fucked that your body says no.
We're just going to die now.
I see this happen with my doggie, where the doggie says, excuse me, did you feel how it is? And he just collapses into a little puddle. And
are you aware of what's going on
around the you? So
sometimes Sadie does not want to walk in the heat, and she'll like turn immediately around and go back in the house. And sometimes she doesn't seem to care one bit. It's very strange.
It's really interesting how they are. And right now, my little boy needs a haircut, so I feel especially bad.
Oh, yeah. He do have that big hair.
Yeah, but he's okay. He gets his hairs cut next week. No, in 2 days. It's a big deal that we shave it all the way down, and then he gets to run around like a good summer boy.
Good little naked boy.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Sadie just sheds all of her hair everywhere, so we don't have to cut it. She just, you know, leaves it all on the floor for us in a nice pile. Thank you, Sadie.
Thank you, Sadie.
She's right next to me. She can probably hear. You can hear her sniffing. Sadie, what's a microphone? Oh, she's not making any noise. Oh, well.
Well, that's okay.
Turns out dogs not good podcast hosts.
Yeah. I mean, I like that she's there. That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. She's very sweet.
I've been having a hard time sleeping lately, so it's funny that I'm so sleepy. It's like you'd think that I would sleep if I'm sleepy.
Yeah, you know, it really fucking sucks because I'm not the best sleeper in the world. I go through my phases, but yeah. I swear every afternoon around like 2:30, I could just fall asleep like a little baby no preamble, no mussing, no fussing. And yet you put me in bed at 11 o'clock and I'm like, eyes taped open, need to like listen to a podcast because I'm so distracted by my brain. It sucks.
Oh, yeah. Last night I had a funny thought about how we use the front of tombstones. But I don't know if I've ever seen anyone use the back of a tombstone to say anything. And I was like,
a funny thought.
And I was like, what a missed opportunity to make some jokes or to make light of something. And so then I pulled out my little sketchbook and I had to doodle it. It was like at 12:45 at night.
Give me a little taste of what a joke on the back of a tombstone might be, Linda.
I think it would be things like that tell the truth. So it would be, you know, the front is like typical bullshit, like beloved mother. Loved her family, and then on the back it's like, except for so-and-so, he was a real dick.
Or, my mother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. that's about as far as I got on that.
I would argue there's probably a practical reason why they don't use the back of a tombstone, is because then you don't know what's the front of the tombstone anymore.
Right, that is probably true. But they should just say, like, side A, side B, or, like, with an arrow pointing into the ground.
No, I've got it, Linda. On the back of the tombstone, you just put a little stone butt, like, carved into the bottom of it, just sitting on the ground. Then you know it's the back of a tombstone because you can see his ass. That's the also a much better joke. If you just went around the back of a tombstone and it had like a nice fucking round apple bottom ass back there.
Just a hairy butt.
How are you gonna carve a hairy butt into stone?
I don't know, but there are artisans who I would trust with that task.
I don't think I've ever seen a statue that looked hairy.
Well, I feel like when you look at like a Greek statue, the hair is always like this very like curly, it's like more like a sheet,
right,
of thick curls,
right? But that only works when you're talking about like, you know, little moments of hair, be it your head hair, your pubes, whatever, your little bush,
right?
Then you can get away with some
a little bush.
when you're making a little bush on your little sculpture, you can get away with a nice sculptural shape. You know, it's about the about the volume of the hair. That's how I teach you to draw hair, Linda. I'm sure you know this better than I do, but you don't draw the hair; you draw the volume of the hair. But yes. But I don't think that works when your whole ass is covered in hair. You make the whole ass just like curly cues all over.
I'd pay to see it.
It's going
to
look like someone spilled two bowls of pasta in a pile is what it's going to look like.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't judge here.
You got that macaroni ass.
I mean, they're dead anyway, so who cares?
Yeah. Do you want to be buried when you die?
Nah.
Yeah. I don't know anybody in our generation that's like, yes, please, put me in a cemetery.
That seems horrible.
What
really?
A fucking insane thought. It's ludicrous.
Yeah. I used to have this theory, or not a theory, but this desire. Let me see if I still like it. I don't think I do. That I would ask that my body be disposed of in like a plot of land somewhere, and that plot of land would be passed down to generations and generations. And then it only becomes like unlocked in like 500 years or something. And then it's like, oh, hey, guess what? You have a really, really dead relative over here, and this is your land now. Figure out what you want to do with it. And now that I'm older, I don't like this idea anymore because I just gave somebody a chore.
Right. So basically, you would buy some land in like the middle of the woods or whatever, and then you would like put in your will that terms of the inheritance of this property are that you may not sell it legally, nor may your heirs and successors.
No. It's just that it's like it goes to like no man's land forever, and then suddenly like seven generations down the line or whatever, somebody just like surprise.
How do you choose which one? If you go many generations, your tree is just gonna get wider probably. Well, I guess maybe not with the direction that population growth is going. Am I right?
Right. I also like don't have kids, so I don't know. I'd have to like get on it to make that dream come around. I think that dying is so like asking people to do stuff for you after you're dead. Like, come on, do it before.
So passe.
Do it before you're dead.
It's so 2002 to have dying wishes.
It is. Like, have living wishes. Be like, I want all my friends to come hang out with me while I die, or before I'm dead, and let's go on a road trip. Instead of like, now that I'm dead, I want you and your father to go travel and do the thing. It's just, I don't know.
Spread my ashes on every highway in America.
Yeah, spread my ashes at every Rite Aid in America.
Rent a paraglider and soar over Memorial Stadium, throwing my ashes down below you.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few hikes that I've been on that I'm like, this wouldn't be a bad resting place, but it's like my memories of being in those places, like I think that is it. Like I've already done
yes.
it. I've already spread myself around and I feel like connected to those places. And I don't think that when I die, if I get like all my family members to go do this thing that was super meaningful
to go litter.
Yeah, just throw my dead body around. That I don't know that would give, like, maybe it would be cool for them, but really, like, it doesn't have anything to do with me at that point. And if these are my dying wishes, like,
yeah,
I would just feel bad because I'd be like, great, now my poor, like, I bet that car ride was awkward. And, like, the kids were like, why are we doing this again? Like, your auntie wanted to. Don't worry. I know. We don't want to. Yes, you can put on different shoes. Like, I'm just imagining the whole thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem romantic or cool to me.
Day's parents were adamant about spreading his ashes, which we did, like, you know, just a couple months ago, like a full more than a year after he died. And it was a thing he never, ever would have wanted. He would have just been wanting his body to be donated and, like, nobody to ever do any kind of ceremony or recognition of it because he didn't want to be perceived. That was his main goal in life. So it was definitely odd. Like, I attended the thing, and it was like they did it at this, like, garden. Not garden, arboretum. They did this arboretum in town that they believed Day loved, and he was, like, kind of into it, but it wasn't, like, his favorite place. It was just a place they knew that he went to in Baltimore sometimes. And they asked the arboretum, like, hey, can we spread ashes here? And apparently the person was like, just pretend you didn't ask me that question and then do it. Like, like, I'm not allowed to tell you yes, but I'm also not going to stop you, basically. Anyway, it was very odd, and not emotional for me at all. I mean, part of it was I was like, I've processed all these emotions already. It's been like 14 months. You people not processing your emotions? But
yeah, seriously.
Anyway, it was
people
weird.
People not in therapy? Yeah, we spread my grandma's ashes in this place where she, like, spent her final days in Florida. And, like, dude, Andy, like, it was red tide. It was like, it smelled like god-awful death.
Wait, what is red tide? You're saying you were on your period?
No, that's an actual thing. It's where, like, the tide is, like, bringing in all the dead shit from the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, whatever you say.
It smells like
PMSing over here on your period, whatever.
All right, Andy. Let's talk about my period a little less right now. Let's talk about my grandma.
I'm sorry.
Piece of shit.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Please accept my apology.
I accept it. Okay. Thank you for your apology. It was weird. It didn't feel like much to me. I took a photo of it happening, and I was like, I don't know, maybe this is emotional for me, but really it was just like seeing all these generations together doing it. Like, that was the real thing that was... Yeah, like, right. Their ashes didn't need to be a vehicle for that to happen.
Right. The only thing that I was emotionally affected by at all was just seeing his parents again and seeing them emotionally distraught.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very weird. I don't know. People are weird. People, I think, go a little bit kooky. Man, I don't edit this podcast. That's going to be right in the finished thing. People go a little cuckoo bananas when someone dies and they don't really know what to do. So they just start doing stuff, hoping that it makes them feel better, you know?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, we're all going to...
Who can blame them? Who can blame them?
I'll be there at some point. Someone's going to die. That's what sucks. Whatever. Hey, guess who's coming into town this weekend?
I'm trying to think of somebody that you and I both know.
Nope.
Oh. I don't know this person?
Not personally, no.
Oh. Then I don't know. Oh, your family, your niece. Okay, there we go. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I got there.
You got there. You're like, they don't know me? Then I tap out completely.
Yeah, I mean, why am I learning about it if it doesn't have to do with me? No, that makes sense. That makes sense, your niece. We love your niece. She's fun.
She's fun. We talk about her all the time. She's going to be here. This is going to be my first time as, like, a solo parent.
Is solo?
City. Yeah.
Is she traveling solo?
No. So her mom has, my sister has a meeting, like, all the way out in Long Island somewhere. So they're going to fly in. I'm going to pick the niece up at the airport. And then... my sister has to go to Long Island.
Long Island.
A few days later, once business is done, we will all reconvene. But yeah, I get like two whole nights of being an auntie in this big city with a child, and I have to keep her alive.
That will be very fun, I feel like.
It'll be super fun. I'm just going to like take her to do all my favorite things. Because when I was like, what do you want to do when you get to New York? She was like, are you going to have your iPad? Can I draw on it? And I'm like, yeah, you can draw on the iPad. Let's think outside the box a little more.
I mean, how old is she? Like 8, 9?
She's 7. Yeah.
Seven. Who can blame a 7-year-old for not knowing what to do in New York City?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And she was here last year. We did the Natural History Museum last time. So I think I'm just going to take her to the MoMA and be like, look at all this stuff.
Take her to one of your comedy shows at like 11 p.m. with a bunch of grown-ups and probably some blue jokes.
I'll probably buy her like a whole pizza.
Oh, heck yeah.
And a whole pack of cigarettes. And I'll teach her
and say, you have to smoke them all.
Yeah. And I'll be like, get your voice real gravelly and then yell at strangers. You're a New Yorker, baby.
Hey.
I'm excited. It'll be fun.
That would be very fun. I can feel how that would be exciting to be like, now it is just you and I. It's like a different kind of special time together that you haven't had before.
Yeah, never ever have we. Like, I took her out on Valentine's Day, like just me and her, but this was in like the suburbs and it was like her usual stomping ground. So I think it'll be really cool. Definitely going to take her to a diner. That's a must.
It's definitely going to be really cool, Linda, because you're really cool.
Andy, thank you.
Oh my gosh. I love to gas up my friends.
Gas me up.
Gas them up. You're so cool, Linda. You're the coolest person I know.
How are you? What is your week going to be like?
I get another tattoo on Wednesday. Ooh. All my tattoo appointments got rescheduled, but the first one that got rescheduled is coming up again for a second time. Sadie, did you just fall down? Okay, she's fine. So that's happening. I think it's going to be on my like side, on my ribs, and I hear that is like one of the most painful places to get a tattoo. Ooh. So we'll see how I feel about that.
Are you a real big pain daddy?
What is meant by that question? Do you mean?
I don't know. Are you really into pain?
I am not into pain. No, I don't like to be in pain.
Okay, cool.
I think I have a like moderately high pain tolerance. It's the kind of thing you never like. No one ever really knows, right? You don't know what other people's experiences are. But you know, when I got my other tattoos, it was like not a thing. It was like whatever, it's fine. Like it's kind of annoying, but it's not really painful. But this is supposed to be like next level, so maybe I will be a big wussy baby. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Maybe I won't get it there. I don't know. Could change my mind.
Do you feel like talking about the thing you're getting, or is it kind of fun to keep it all a mystery?
Oh, it's up to you. I don't care.
I just never ask these things. This is a thing I don't do. I don't ask people about tattoos. Like, if I see a tattoo on a person... Like, especially if it's, like, a man that I'm dating, I'll just never ask. I'm like, nope, I'm just never gonna go there.
Is it because you don't want to know?
I think I just don't think about it. Like, I don't really give a fuck.
Are you thinking about it right now?
But it's because we're talking about a thing. I think it's, like, it's like hearing about someone's dreams. Like hearing about tattoos is kind of like hearing about dreams a little bit. Like it's more interesting in that a lot of times you're like getting to know a more intimate detail about a person. But usually like if you're going to get a tattoo about something, that's like so intimate that like I don't think that's for me to know unless I don't know.
Well, I mean, I have a couple things to say here, Linda. One of them is that the majority of people that have multiple tattoos that I've met and from what I've read online and stuff, like don't have any meaning associated with most of their tattoos. There's like a big joke in the tattoo community that, you know, people that have a lot of tattoos, their tattoos mean nothing. They just look cool. So there's that fact. The other thing is like, if someone doesn't want people to know about it, they would not get it somewhere like, you know, broadcast on their body, you know? So the tattoo is probably something that you're fine, certainly to ask somebody that you're like dating and like in a close relationship with. I probably wouldn't ask someone I just met at a bar or whatever. That seems a little forward, but I don't know. I guess you could ask if you care, but if you don't care, then don't ask. Like you said, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't give a fuck, I guess.
Well, I won't bother telling you then because you don't give a fuck.
Well, I care about you though.
No, you can't have it both ways. I get it. You don't care. It's fine.
I want to know now. Well, because I think your last tattoo you didn't want to talk about. And so then I was like, cool, I'm just not going to bring it up.
Was that my first tattoo? I can't remember.
Your first one, you didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That one's because it's like, I don't know, it's weird to talk about.
Okay, what about this one?
This one's going to be a rose, Linda.
A rose? Will it have thorns, Andy?
Oh, I mean, every rose has a thorn, Linda. Fuck off. Haven't you heard the folk tale, the old saying?
Oh, what's the rose for?
It's not... So, It's for the fact that I want to start getting tattoos from local artists. My two tattoos I have right now are not from local artists. One is in Richmond, one is in New York. I emailed a bunch of local artists like last September when I was like really hankering to get my first tattoo, and nobody responded until like May when two local artists responded at the same week and were like, I have an appointment now. And so this is kind of like, this person has an appointment. What is the thing that I would get tattooed that I kind of like? And, you know, the rose is also, rose is a symbol of socialism. It's a symbol of like anti-authoritarianism through history.
Oh, very different take than I expected.
What'd you expect?
Well, I don't know. If people think about roses, they usually think about love or about like women. I don't know.
I'm gonna get this hot rose tattooed on me.
Most people don't think of socialism.
Well, depends the circles you run in, Linda.
But this is why I love you. I'm so glad that I asked. Okay, keep going.
So I would argue there's like very different depictions of roses that will have very different semantic meanings, even though, you know, the rose can mean all kinds of stuff. There's like whole books about the various cultural meanings of roses through time and history. And I think if you're seeing a rose in profile that is like kind of isolated, maybe with like a leaf or two, then you're definitely talking like high school prom rose. That's like a romance rose for sure.
Right.
Right. I picture like Sailor Moon when I see that rose. If you're looking at a like rose bloom head on, that to me immediately says socialism, because that's a symbol of all kinds of different socialist movements over history.
Gotcha.
So I'm getting like a botanical drawing style rose, so it's going to be pretty far from the high school prom rose. I specifically said I don't want a high school prom rose.
Yeah.
And I don't know, a vague allusion maybe to something anti-authoritarian, but mostly it will look cool, and it will allow me to get a tattoo from this person that I want to develop a relationship with.
Cool. Can you show me a picture of what this rose looks like?
Oh, Linda, I can send you the folder of reference images I just sent to the artist on Dropbox.
Hell yeah.
Because that is how I live my life.
That is how I roll.
Copy Dropbox link. Send to...
Totally off subject, but my place of business is switching off of Dropbox and into G Drive.
Oh, no.
They were like, heads up, this is happening, and we have 30 days to migrate. And I was like, oh, fun.
Is it fun?
Fun in the sun.
Is it actually fun?
It's never fun. All right. Placement ideas. Reference images.
I think the folders are clearly named. So, you know, the placement ideas, I don't actually like the tattoos themselves, but we're talking placement. Like, where am I going to put this thing? The only thing I've agreed with the artist so far is that it'll be somewhere on my torso. So I've got some options, and I'm looking for their input, too. Like, there's a reason I want the artist to also tell me what they want to do with
for the listener,
canvas of my body.
For the listener who isn't looking at a Dropbox folder full of rose images, what I'm looking at are more like scientific illustrations that I think somebody would have done in old timey times to, as clearly as possible, to depict what a species of flower is and what makes it different from the others.
Yeah, buddy. Botanical drawing style.
Yes, I love this illustration style a lot.
Yeah, and it'll be black and white tattoo for sure, if that wasn't obvious. The reference images are color, but I'm not getting any color tattoos. Probably ever, but definitely not now.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, color... First of all, colored inks age way less well than black ink does.
Yeah.
And specific colors just, like, will go away almost immediately. So, like warm colors, like reds and yellows and oranges, just disappear pretty much overnight.
Yeah. All right. I'm about to open the placement ideas folder. Is this all going to be pictures of wieners?
Yeah. That's what we're
making. No, we already talked about the rib cage.
Nothing but wieners all the way down.
I'm thinking like the side of the wiener, maybe the top of the wiener. No.
You can get your wiener tattooed if you want, Linda.
I know. Anything that's on your body, you can do it. And somebody has.
I'm sure lots of people have.
Yes. I like it. I think this is really pretty and cool.
I think it will look very cool on my side with like my arm covering it up, but I'm, you know, like partially covering it. My favorite thing about tattoos by far is when they're partially covered. That's the best thing about tattoos, I think.
Like partially covered just by your own body? Like,
yeah, or like, you know, the tree I have on my like upper left arm, you can only see like the bottom of the trunk sticking out below my sleeve. Mm-hmm. And it does not look identifiable as a tree trunk when you're only looking at that aspect of it. It's just kind of like some funky lines and shapes. And I love that very much, that most people only see that, because if I don't normally have my shirt off and I don't wear tank tops. So,
yeah. You should pop your shirt off more. Summer. So hot out there.
I told you we joined that pool, so I've had my shirt off at the pool twice a weekend, yeah. Every weekend. You
sent me a pic of it.
Yeah, it did.
So rad.
Yes, I've been doing that. Though I'm going to have to stop swimming once I get this tattoo for like 2 weeks, maybe longer.
Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah.
While it heals.
Yep. So I'll just have to sit on the edge of the pool with my feet dangling in there.
That makes sense.
Chatting with my friends.
They don't want that.
Healing.
Yeah. Hey, I'm healing over here.
Hey. You're still on the never get a tattoo train?
Yeah, I don't think I'll do it. I just don't really have a desire to.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will ever change. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll probably be recording this dumb podcast.
I feel like most people don't get their first tattoo after the age of, like, well, let's say 22. But so I feel like I'm a bit of an anomaly in that I got my first tattoo at 33.
Yeah.
I think if you made it to this point, you're probably not very likely to get a tattoo if you haven't got one by now.
I make too good of decisions now. I'm all grown.
I'm too smart.
I'm too smart and to thoughtful. Get tatted up. But anyways, enjoy your tattoo this week. Just kidding, Andy.
You don't have to like tattoos, Linda. You can think it's dumb. I genuinely don't care.
No, I don't think it's dumb. I look at them on people sometimes and I think, man, that's really cool. I bet I would look cool with that. And then I'm like, oh, well.
I think they're extremely hot on other people. I can't explain why, but I think tattoo people are so hot. I mean, there's like a sweet spot, right? Like someone like covered head to toe in tattoos, not really for me, but you know, a decent tattoo coverage or like, you know, tattoos just poking out all over the place. It really does it for me.
Yeah. I feel like they have to be very, very good, tasteful. I love a little like forearm little thing. So I like stick and poke style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've never I think for me, I like a man who has zero tattoos more. Like if I had my preference, I'm like, ooh, clean slate.
There was a very funny post on Reddit a while ago. I forget what subreddit it was on. It was like trending and made it to the front page or whatever. And it was a post and it was this guy asking for help. And his problem was, he was like, I have a girlfriend who's covered in tattoos. She's been covered in tattoos since I met her. I think she's beautiful and hot, whatever. He's like, but as a joke, I was learning and practicing Photoshop because I was trying to get good at Photoshop. And as like just for something to do, I just like tattooed her. I just Photoshopped all of her tattoos off of a photo of her. And I think she's way hotter without tattoos. What do I do?
Oh my God.
He's like, I can't look at my girlfriend the same way ever again. Now I just see the tattoos and think they're awful and ruining her perfect body. What do I do?
Oh my God. boy, that's also weird. Why would you remove them? Like, he was clearly, like, curious. He wasn't, like, just, I'll just fuck around, huh?
I mean, maybe I could buy that, like, if you're learning Photoshop and you just need some stuff to Photoshop, you know, maybe you're like, I have this picture of you on my computer. What am I to see if you look like without tattoos?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's really funny, though.
Whether it was intentional or not, it's just, what a hilarious problem to find yourself in. he's like, I can't tell her. What do I do?
There's no turning back.
Ugh. I love the internet sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I hate it, Linda.
Yeah. Bleah. Yeah, I've kind of been indifferent to it because I haven't really been dealing with it very much. I don't really look at it. And I've been pretty...
That's for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not been looking at my phone or at that stuff very much.
Do you feel more calm and happy? Contented?
I mean, this has been going on since January, so I'm on like month 7 of my
like what kind of daily screen time are we talking about when you say you're not looking at your phone? Do you mind disclosing?
I don't know, like not very much. Like if I'm texting someone, if I'm like actively engaged, like texting, I've been building a lot of playlists lately on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
That's been fun. And I mean, that's it. Like I haven't even been playing Threes, Andy. Like,
even though you've played 65 million games of Threes somehow.
Yeah.
I still can't believe you surpassed me in games of Threes. That is very shocking to me.
Yeah, I went through a big phase with it. No, my thing lately, Andy, is meditation. So if I feel myself like wanting to grab my phone and like scroll around and look at stuff, I've gotten really into like transcendental meditation and trying to imagine myself like swimming through the ocean to get to the bottom of it.
I feel like you'd be very good at that. You have a great imagination.
Yeah, but like the thing that I'm trying to do right now is like, I think meditation is also all about getting into your body and being very, very present. And so I am both visualizing like swimming to the bottom of the ocean. The idea is that the surface is like very turbulent and there are waves and there's stuff. It's all like, crazy. There's fish everywhere. And then, but then the deeper that you swim, the more still and calm and quiet it gets. So I'm trying to do that visualization while simultaneously doing like a body scan and like feeling where my body is and staying in touch with the present. It's a fucking trip, man. Like, fuck TikTok. Shit.
Linda, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So I've like a few times a day I've been doing that. And then like once you do that, you don't really feel like you're not like, oh, what's my phone up to? You're like, whatever it is, it's going to make me sad.
See, I think the majority of people would do that and then still be like, yeah, but what's my phone up to? What that phone be doing?
Yeah. I mean, I still be looking at phone. It's fine. It's just like, it's more fun. I think my phone is reserved right now for actual like communication with people, like texting or Slacking if it's work hours. And then, yeah, that's kind of it.
Well, what can I say, Linda? You're better than most of us. Better than me. Better person.
That's what I wanted everyone to take away today.
It's very important that everyone know that you are superior because you are transcendentally meditating and the rest of us fucking sheeple are just looking at our phones.
Whatever. I've it's time is relative. I've been in the Instagram, whatever. Shit, I was going to say something and then I just forgot.
Ooh. I want to know so bad.
Oh, Andy.
Ooh, but I want to know so bad.
Oh, but I want to know something about the phone and the
transcendental meditation. You're in the ocean, you're getting deeper and deeper and the water's getting calmer.
I don't know.
In your meditation, are there any living things into ocean, or is the ocean just a giant water?
Well, so the hard part is, like, you're supposed to imagine the ocean, but then, for me, the water becomes, like, I feel like I'm suffocating, because I think I imagine too good.
Yeah, because you're so good at imagination. You're like an imagineer.
Like, what the fuck, I can't breathe down here. So what I've done, Andy, and this is going to sound a little crazy, but I've inverted the ocean into the sky. And I've been able to create that metaphor in an air world where I'm flying, kind of, and floating.
So you're not in the ocean?
No. Like, it usually starts there. And then I'm like, let's take this out of the water because I can't breathe.
I just love the idea of you talking to some other person in this minute. Let's take this out. Let's get dry feet, as I like to call it, and soar up to the stratosphere where it's nice and peaceful.
Yeah, let's take this up a notch. And by a notch, I mean out of our planet's ozone layer.
I mean, I feel like the metaphor of going deeper in the ocean and it gets more peaceful, that doesn't really hold up on account of the ocean just like... It literally gets more pressure as you go down. Like, it just keeps crushing and crushing and crushing you. Space is very peaceful. Like, there's not much shit going on out in space. So the idea of you just, like, you know, slowly leaving the atmosphere and your body getting lighter and the pressure on your skin and bones and the force of gravity all getting lighter, that sounds much more meditative in a way.
Yeah, exactly. But all of the things that you'll read about transcendental meditation talk about the ocean, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And then I'm like, no, this isn't for me. I remembered what I was going to talk about.
Okay, oh, good.
So my friend wanted to do a friend book club, and he was like, but we have to read the book that I pick. And so I was like, okay, sign me up.
So just real quick, your friend basically was like, I want to tell you what book to read and then talk to you about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I'm okay with.
Sure.
But we're like, okay, like, we'll pick which days we're going to read which chapters. So we're kind of like going through it together. But it's called Acts of Service. Have you heard of it?
I am familiar with the idea of acts of service as one of the love languages, but I am not familiar with a published book of the name.
Yeah, well, look it up, because apparently it's very sexy.
Is it? Linda?
Huh? What?
Hello?
I thought you were completing a thought. I thought you were like, is it?
No, I was asking you. I was like, is it very sexy?
I haven't started it yet.
Is it actually supposed to be a sexy book?
Yeah, it's Acts of Service, a novel by Lillian Fishman. Yeah.
And so, it's a fiction book, but it's going to have some steamy moments. It might give a little romance novel on.
Yeah, somebody was like, it's kind of like Normal People, but way hotter. And I was like, oh.
It's kind of, wait, okay. Is Normal People another book? Or is that just saying the book is like People, but hotter?
Yeah, it's called a Bold and Unflinchingly Sexy debut novel about a young woman who follows her desires. Oh,
this cover is very
pleasure.
This cover is very sensual.
But it only has a 3.2 on Amazon, which means it might be kind of bad. But like, as I was buying it in the store, this man came up to me and he was like, "Oh, you're gonna love that."
Ugh, ugh, men, just stop.
I mean, it's okay. He was definitely gay, and I was definitely okay with him in the way he was describing it. He was like, "Oh my god, it's so hot." I was like, "Okay, cool." He wasn't like
taut, thorny, and sublimely fraught. This book is electric.
So I'm gonna read that over the next few weeks.
Months after turning the final page, I'm still thinking about this fiercely wily novel.
Jeez, God, get a hobby.
Acts of Service doesn't kiss you first. It gets right to it, depicting the liquid frequencies of need and power with a thoughtful, savage eye.
What? It doesn't kiss you first? Is it just saying that, like, it gets right to fucking? Is that what it's trying to say?
It depicts the liquid frequencies, Linda. That sounds pretty...
All right.
Man, these fucking book reviewers really be trying to use big words in their one little sentence that's going to get printed on the book thing. Like, they're just, they're really, like, flexing all their thesaurus muscles here.
Yeah, and by flexing, you mean they're using their fingers to flip through the thesaurus on the phone.
Mm-hmm. This one's got a different vibe. A fun debut novel that feels like the life story of half of Brooklyn.
Okay, that's probably more accurate then, because I think that whenever I hear about something that's steamy, I'm like, I don't know. I've had steamier nights than that. It seemed pretty basic to me.
50 Shades of Grey? More like 50 like Shades of...
Tuesday.
Shit. Oh, damn it. This is so good. Nice job, Linda.
Thank you. I had to take it.
That was very good. I was trying to think of something that rhymed with grey and meant boring.
50 Shades of Tuesday is good. Anyway, I'm going to go. I have a meeting at 6.
Why? That's disgusting.
It's with our Australian agency that's doing our brand. So that's the only reason it's allowed is because it's like 7 a.m. their time. So
they're probably I'll delightful because Australian people are delightful.
They are. They're very delightful.
Yeah.
Great to work with.
Well, enjoy your meeting at an egregious time and have a nice week. I'll talk to you soon.
Why am I? Send me a picture of your tattoo.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture once I get it. I'll let you know how fucking awful it feels.
Okay, will do. Yay. All right.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.